You guys want to start turning to John 10. Diane didn't know what my message was this morning. Yes, she runs the computer and that, but she usually doesn't see it until after worship, so she had no clue what was really coming. But God does what God does through all of us, you know? He doesn't just speak to me. He doesn't just speak to Ashley, just speak to Kim, the elders, Diane. He speaks to each and every single one of us. And last week, Ashley had a scripture come to her, and we started talking about it. And we were talking about it, and it was so there were some things that kind of related back to what Robert Morris had spoke through some of the Wednesday night teachings that we've been going through. And then the same verse I heard two more times within just another day. So God was prompting me something there, so I started diving into it, started looking at it. And some things are okay, yeah, that's great, that's for me, that's for us. Some things are, that's for the whole congregation. And that's where God's led me today with the scripture. And the verse that we're talking about here is John 10:14, which says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. And so talking about the sheepfold, talk about body ministry, all of that, God's just really speaking to us already this morning. So I'm just continuing on what he's already started in us. So you guys, I'm sure a lot of you guys realize that we're in a rural area, right? Pretty sure, last I looked out, we've got a cornfield right out here and there. So it's not a stretch for us to understand farming. You guys know we enjoy hobby farming ourselves, and we generally stick to poultry and beef, but I'm sure we'd be running a funny farm around our place with everything under the sun, given the right circumstances. Some of you guys will get that later. See, sheep and shepherding was something that was very common, well known in that time frame. Everybody kind of generally had a good idea of some of the illustrations that they used, some of the references with sheep. I would say a lot of the offerings and sacrifices were using sheep. And he also relates to shepherds a lot throughout the entire Old Testament and New Testament. And he uses these to illustrate kingdom principles. So to get a full understanding of that verse, we're going to look at a good portion of the beginning of John 10. So starting at verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, it is the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So, the first thing that kind of struck me here was a sheepfold. And so I don't know if you guys are like me, but the first thing that I thought of with a sheepfold was just basically a flock of sheep right bunched together. But a sheepfold is actually much more than that, and I had no clue. So it's basically a fortified fence that protects the flock. There's usually only be one way in or out of there, and the shepherd at night or whenever they're resting would lay in the doorway. So that way, none of the flock could get out, and none of the predators could get in. It also would keep thieves and robbers from being able to just go any which way if they had a larger flock. You want to go ahead and put that picture up there, Diane? Yeah, so this was a picture that I found of one that's over, I think this might be in Ireland from what I remember reading, but it gives you the general idea of what a sheepfold is actually like. So it's a big fortified stone wall, and it'd be a lot more difficult for somebody to get in there. And if they're getting in there, they have to intentionally try to get in there. And so the shepherd would lay in that opening and block everything at that point. So anybody that goes in some other way, whether it be over it or under it or through it, is a thief or a robber. Most thieves and robbers, they like to be sneaky. They like to try to get in, not make themselves known. And there's so many parallels with thinking that if we think that there's a way to get to heaven or get into the kingdom of God without going through Jesus, we become like a thief or a robber. Because only Jesus can make that way. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Without Jesus, we can never get there. Jesus was God's ultimate and brilliant plan for restoring the kingdom of God. You know, we're coming up on Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And it's a great way of celebrating Jesus and recognizing the sacrifice that he made and the power and the authority that he has given us through that. All the wonderful promises that he was only able to restore to us through the resurrection. See, sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. It was kind of funny last night. One of the things with our cows is they're often timid and unsure of people if they don't recognize them. And last night, Ashley was filling the waters, and so they were all interested in her down there. Well, normally when I do chores by myself, they watch the door to where we keep the feed at, and they watch and wait for me to make my way out there. So I had made my way into the pasture through our other gate to where it was a nice dry area to feed them, and they were paying attention to Ashley still. And then I called, and the one, he just kind of looked up, looked over, and he came running like a dog. But he recognized my voice, and he knew what was coming. So it's not just with sheep, but it's many animals that recognize the voice. I mean, you think of dogs, and they recognize the voice of their owners. See, when the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd, they respond to it. If they don't know the voice, though, they're not going to go with them. Sometimes in those sheepfolds, you would actually have multiple flocks. So all the sheep are together. You'd have multiple shepherds that all put their flocks together. They were all traveling. They all ended up putting them all together. You think of the story of Christmas and the shepherds that are in the field, and they had their flocks together. It wasn't just one shepherd, it was multiple. But a shepherd could go to the door, call his own sheep, and only his sheep would come because they recognize his voice. How do they recognize his voice? Because the shepherds spent time with his sheep. The sheep have been around the shepherd and know how to hear his voice. Also, I give a little bit of confession this morning. So a couple weeks ago there, we went up to Michigan for my grandpa's viewing. And my grandma, she's been in a nursing home for quite a few years because she started getting dementia and wasn't able to live at the house. He wasn't able to really take care of her, so she didn't know who she was half the time, so she kind of had to stay in a nursing home. Well, so they brought her while we were there, and I didn't recognize her right away because they had her in a wheelchair. They had a big sun hat on her. She, because of her eyes, she had big sunglasses on, and it was hard to tell who it was. She's aged a lot since I saw her last, so it was kind of hard to recognize. But the second I heard her voice, I knew exactly who it was. So even when you don't necessarily see it, but you hear it, you know exactly who it was. God's given us the ears in the natural to hear and recognize things. He's also given us spiritual ears to hear in the spiritual and recognize things as well. So when we're spending time with God, we start to recognize and hear His voice when He's speaking to us. Knowing His voice comes from spending time in prayer, spending time in His Word, and waiting to hear what God wants to say to us. You need to know God's voice for yourself, not dependent on others hearing God for you. You got to be careful of who you listen to and let speak into your life. You know, it used to be the TV and TV evangelists and TV teachings and that, but anymore with the YouTubes, there's a lot of stuff out there. Just about anybody can post something. It doesn't take much to post it either. I mean, I can probably pull my phone out right now and three clicks and be posting something right now, just recording it and instantly posting it up there. So you got to be careful of who you submit to, who you listen to, and know how to recognize whether it's God or it's not. Because there's a lot of teachings out there that it can steer you wrong. It may have an ounce of truth, but the whole thing can introduce a lot of harmful stuff to you. And so if you guys have seen much for online and that, it's almost clickbait, where it's they post something or they title it one way to get you to click on it. And they may touch on that just a little bit, but then they fill it with all kinds of stuff that's not exactly what you want to hear or what you needed to hear. It can be so deceiving sometimes. Don't get me wrong, there are some people that I know they're called to the digital sphere to reach people. But an important thing there is to pay attention to whether they're trying to get likes and clicks and views, something to puff themselves up, or if they're trying to glorify God and giving God all the glory for everything they're doing through it all. See if it's something that they're exalting Jesus or they're exalting themselves. Are they trying to build up the body of Christ or trying to build themselves up? And it's not just what you hear or see on the TV either. It's anybody. Myself included. So whether it's myself or Kem or Danny or Diane or anybody in this congregation, whether it's Tim and Dutch Sheets, whether it's Jeff and Nancy Clark, people that we know hear from God, you got to make sure that what you're hearing is actually of God. Because we're all human. That's the thing about God, is He uses humans. Everything He does, He uses submitted vessels and people. It's like Paul says somewhere, I think it might be Philippians, Corinthians, where he says that he prophesies with the understanding and he prophesies in the Spirit. He speaks with understanding, he speaks in the Spirit. Prays with understanding, prays in the Spirit. It's easy for us to not recognize or realize when we might put our own little spin on it, but filtering all things through the Holy Spirit will keep us from wandering. Nothing that's ever said should be contrary to the Word of God or contrary to His very nature. Continue in verse 7 here. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, John 10:10, there's two parts to it, but many of us recognize it. A lot of times we'll quote it, but rarely quote it together. We'll either talk about the thief coming to kill, steal, and destroy, or we talk about Jesus came so that we'll have life and life abundantly. See, the thief comes for their own advantage. The thief comes to steal, wanting to take it for themselves. The thief comes to steal our joy, peace, and our values. Now listen here. The thief in this passage, so many think it's referring to Satan, because that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Are there times that he does that? Yes. Do I think that's what John was referring to, or Jesus was referring to in this passage? No. Because it's not referred to anywhere else leading up to it. The main thing here is our flesh. We give Satan too much credit sometimes. Hear me out for a minute here. Eve in the garden. Did Satan make Eve take a bite of the apple, or the fruit rather? No. Did Eve make Adam partake in it? No. Okay, women, that may have came off. I'm not referring you to Satan by one bit. I want to make that clear. But anyway, though, sometimes our fleshly desires make us steal. Sometimes our fleshly desires make us rob God. You know, one of the things that we were talking about there with online ministry and all that is sometimes people do it in a desire to be famous, to have a crowd start following after them, desire to do things that satisfy themselves instead of letting Christ satisfy themselves. Paul gave a big warning about this as he was getting to the end of his days in Acts 20, in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Some of you guys have heard this about wolves before, especially those who have come on Wednesday night, but it's something you got to watch out for with wolves. Because see, the whole time that you're around a wolf, they're watching you. They're observing you. They're watching every move that you're doing. They're calculating what their move would be. They're learning your patterns. They're learning seeing which ones are the ones that are straying from the flock. They're on the outer edges, kind of wandering a little bit away. Wolves are sly and cunning. They know how to make their move. So that's part of the important thing about the sheepfold. It's one of the strongest ways to stay solid is stay in the sheepfold. Because you start wandering to the outside edges, that's the first one that Satan's going to start picking off. The thief's going to start trying to go in and steal after those people. But the thief starts to steal hearts from Jesus. He tries to get you to believe the lie. He tries to get you to want other stuff more than Jesus himself. Think back to the desire that you had when you first were saved. The fire that we had for him. That longing desire. That's what God wants us to operate in all the time. The thief came to take our hearts away from him. The thief wants you to think, Yeah, I might be able to do what I want and still walk and enter through any which way to get to heaven. That I can get all the kingdom that I want, but still do my own thing. Just walk by the sheepfold gate and go, "Hey, Jesus," and I just keep on walking. No. Because if the thief figures out that he can't steal your heart away from Jesus, he'll try to start killing and destroying instead. He'll start trying to kill what you're taking into your soul, what you're taking into your spirit, man. He'll try to kill the sanctity of marriage. Start compromising. Start allowing things to become an idol. If you don't follow their lead, they'll try to make things difficult for you. If you don't believe me, look at the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees in the Bible. Although they claimed to be men of God, they were desiring their own status, their own position. They had a way of life because of being a scribe or a Pharisee. And when Jesus started his ministry and they saw what he was doing, they recognized that it was going to start taking people away from what they had going. Beware of deception. Know the word. Know who you are in Christ. In contrast to the thief taking and destroying and killing, Jesus came to give life. We were all dead once, and we probably didn't even know it at the time. But Jesus gave us life out of our nothingness. He didn't come and just tell us to have life in a little box. He showed us the example of life. He walked out life the entire time that he was here on the earth. Full access to joy, peace, and victorious living in the here and now. Yes, he gives us eternal life, where we don't have to fear death. But that life is here and now, and it's just the beginning of it. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Then the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus is the good shepherd. He truly cares for us. He not only gave his life for us, he continues to lay in the doorway for us to protect us, the sheep in a sheepfold. He continues to lead us, caring. Verse 14 there, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." Man, this is good news here. Jesus, the creator of the universe, knows us. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, knows us. And those of us that are called by his name, we know him as well. And there are others who don't yet know him, and they will answer the call, and they will enter the flock. Not sure if you caught it in verse 3 there. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Not only does he know each of us, but he calls us by name. Look at the Bible. Jesus called people to follow him by name. Peter, Mary Magdalene, Philip, Matthew. Those are just a few that he called by name. He has a personal call for each of us. He doesn't just say, "Hey, you." No, he says, "Joanne, Brandon, Diane." He calls us individually by name. Even when his flock grows and there are so many more in it, he knows us each personally. My Bible says he knows how many hairs are on my head even. That's the kind of personal connection that we have with our shepherd. John 10, verse 27 now. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." We too can recognize Jesus' voice. We can hear what God is saying for this time and place. Start turning to Psalm 23. We're going to go through it quickly here. There's a lot to Psalm 23 that we could do multiple messages on by themselves, but I think it's good while we've got a mindset of sheep and shepherd to just touch on this quickly. And I encourage you to do a study on it yourself even. Starting in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Trust in the leading of God. Passing up our own desires, make sure that the desires that we have line up with what God wants for us. Verse 2, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." God has provision for us. He knows exactly what we need, and he will lead us there. Verse 3, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." God is in the restoration business. He cares so much for our souls. See, shepherds would go before the sheep leading them, not behind the sheep driving them. So he goes before us, leading us where to go. Verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." See, the shepherd would fight for the sheep. Think about it. David knew the shepherd fights for the sheep. I had not even realized that most of the songs this morning had giants being slain. You know what happened when David went out there to face Goliath? He said, "Has God not delivered me from the hand of the bear and the lion?" See, God had already used him to slay a bear and a lion. God will deliver us from our giants as well. We need to realize that it's God's battle to fight and turn it over to him. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." The shepherd cares for the flock. Not only does he prepare a feast for us, but he does it regardless of our circumstances in the very face of opposition. Those of you with animals understand what it's like to have flies. For sheep, the flies, they lay them in the actual nose of the sheep. So anointing with oil, that was nothing uncommon with sheep, because they would actually coat the whole face and nose with oil to keep the flies from laying eggs in their nose. I know, right? It's kind of fun, ain't it? Not flies, but how God protects us with his anointing oil. So with that, there's no way for those pests to reside. And he watches over us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's promises are eternal, and he makes sure that we have access to every good thing through being crafted into his family. If you're taking notes this morning, here's a couple of things to help keep in mind. The first is understood that Jesus bought us at a price. What he did at the cross, he bought us. Sheep are owned. He paid the price for us. When we said yes, he put us into his flock. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The second thing here is to respond to his promptings. Follow where he leads us. Follow the direction that he wants us to go. He's going before us. So often we pray, God, go before us before we ever face what it is that we're going into. He makes a way. Third one here, we've touched on it plenty of times, is stay in the sheepfold. You guys are all here. You guys know the importance of gathering together and being around other believers. But surround yourself with other believers. Surround yourself with people who have a positive attitude. Who you are around affects you more than you realize. The other thing here is to stay in God's Word and know what it says. You may not always have your Bible open, but if you take His Word and put it here, you will know it at the appropriate time. The fourth one is to identify with our shepherd. We need to make sure that we're always listening and recognizing his voice. Get away from distractions and get in conversation with God. You know, your prayer closet doesn't necessarily have to be an actual closet. If you do have one, kudos to you. But a prayer closet can be anywhere that you can get away without distractions. And it's easy to have distractions, especially with cell phones anymore. You know, it's easy to just go, oh, hear a ding, look at it. Your quiet time can be in a vehicle driving. It can be walking through the woods, as Kem, I know Kem's said that that's his place that he likes to go. It's anywhere that you can get away and get alone with God and hear what he's having to say. And listen for that still small voice to respond. Prayer is not giving lists of requests to God. It's having a conversation with him. Sure, you may have petitions and supplications, stuff that you're the one basically telling God what he already knows, but it's what you're telling God that's on your heart at that point. But God wants to respond, and he does respond. So then as we're familiar with God's voice, we recognize it easier. And then we respond to that more and more. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for everything that you have shown us. God, we thank you that you are our shepherd. Jesus, we thank you that you go before us, that you make a way for us, Lord. That you watch over your flock continuously, God. Lord, we pray that we're able to recognize thieves and robbers when we see it, God. Lord, help us be strengthened in our relationship to you to where we know exactly when we're hearing your voice, Jesus. Lord, we're here. Lord, we're willing. Lord, use us. Help us realize when you are prompting us, God. Lord, you know our desires. You know our wishes, God. Lord, we pray that you continue to show yourself through us, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Jesus. Amen.